16 and 18, Jesus speaking to Peter, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Amen. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Luke 10 and 18, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." I love that one phrase in there. It says, "and over all," that's one of those big little words I'm always talking to you about, "all the power of the enemy." Amen. Isaiah 14 and 15, and I know I'm going quick, just follow along on the screen with me. "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, and they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as wilderness, as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners?" And of course, this is a prophecy about Satan himself, the enemy. We're going to look at him and say, is this the one? Is this the guy that we were so worried about? Revelations 20 and 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more." And so tonight, I just want to minister to you. I don't know if it's going to be preaching, teaching, preaching, somewhere in the middle tonight, but my title is simply this: the enemy's last stand. The enemy's last stand. I believe that battles define places and people. Notable battlefields around the world has taken place of significance because of the battles that were fought there. The places where the battle was pitched were nameless before, most people not even knowing what they were or where they were. There was no reason to name them, but the battle made a wheat field into the wheat field and a peach orchard into the peach orchard. We see places like Normandy and Guadalcanal and Midway and Gettysburg and Shiloh and Bull Run and Fort Sumter and Washington and Sherman and Grant and Lee, men that were a part of these great battles, and Eisenhower and Patton and MacArthur, their names were made because of the battles they fought, and the places where they fought became significant. And so today I want to draw a line in the sand and let us know that here we are at Way of Life Church, whether it is at 1313 Bedford, 1313 Brown Trail in Bedford, or at 1332 Yates Drive in Hearst, that we are drawing a line in the sand, and our significant places are going to be defined by the battle that we fight. And we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We are not fighting against the government. We're not fighting against liberals or conservatives or Republicans or Democrats. We are fighting a spiritual battle today. And in every home and every marriage and every situation, there is a pressing going on. And I think that when we know what's happening, when we understand a little better what the enemy is doing, then we have the ability to withstand it. And so the Bible says if we're going to resist the devil, we do not have to battle him. We do not have to take up a sword against him. We do not have to fight him. The Bible says that all we have to do is submit ourselves, therefore, unto God and resist the devil, and he will flee from us. And so here we are tonight. We are already victorious because he has already gotten us the victory. And we are living in glorious days. I know that it is a time of turmoil and chaos, and every university in our country is fraught with riots and with protest and just craziness going on in our schools, in our society, in Washington, D.C. People have lost their ever-loving minds, and our world seems to be at a greater chaos than it's ever been. But I want you to know today that this is the greatest day of the church. I wouldn't want to live any other time. Amen. I don't have good old day syndrome today. I don't want to go back. I want to go forward. Because I do believe, and this may be my Pollyanna ideas again, but I do believe that between now and the time the Lord comes back is going to be the greatest time of the church. Now, it's going to be faced with the greatest challenges and the greatest battles. But let me just say on this Wednesday night that I do believe that it's going to be also dotted with the greatest victories that we've ever seen, with the outpourings, with whole churches coming to the revelation of Jesus' name baptism and the oneness of God, and baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe that more people are going to come into the church from now until the end of time than has come before. I want you to know that God is going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. Thomas Paine said this, these are the times that try men's soul. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of men and women. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us: at the heart of the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Hallelujah. I love that word. Amen. The heart of the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. We have obtained too cheap. We esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price upon its goods. And it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated. And I know that he is speaking of the Revolutionary War and the freedom from the tyranny of Great Britain. But I tell you right now, there is a greater tyranny going on in our world right now, and that is the spirit of the Antichrist that the Bible says is already at work. But oh, I want you to know that these may be the times that try men's souls. And the summer soldier and the sunshine patriot may shrink during these battles. But those of us that are committed, those of us that are submitted, those of us that have decided that we're going to live for God no matter what comes, no matter what goes, I'm telling you, we are going to see the greatest victory that anyone has ever seen. And we're going to be able to celebrate the glorious triumph of the church. Amen. Amen. I always talk about the overarching will and purpose of God. And that includes the church. The church is going up, not down. The church is going to grow, not fall. I want you to know that the key for us and our victory in this time is for us to align ourselves. We've got to align ourselves with the will of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We see other great men of history. Winston Churchill says, these are not dark days. These are great days. The greatest days our country has ever lived. He's speaking of the battle that was going on between them and Germany and Hitler. He also said, we shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. Amen. Amen. The famous Captain John Paul Jones, or a famous admiral, he said, I have yet begun to fight. And so I just want to proclaim here at Way of Life that we're not going to surrender to the will of the world. We're not going to surrender to the will of the enemy. We're not going to compromise in this hour. We're not going to water down the doctrine so that we can be accepted. We are not going to allow the influence of liberal ideology to come into our minds and our hearts. And we're going to do battle. Hear me tonight. We're going to do battle for our children. We're going to pay attention to what they are consuming. We're going to pay attention to what they're listening to and what they're watching and what's on their phone and what's on social media. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. And we are still going to preach against sin here. Amen. We don't hate people, but we hate sin. Amen. I'm telling you that the enemy's last stand is happening right now. And the pressure you feel in society around us and around the world and the wars and the rumors of wars and the protest and the craziness and the chaos that is happening on every single front is just really the enemy realizing that it is coming to a close. And he knows the end, just like God knows the end, that God has already sentenced him to a lake of fire and he is not going to survive it. But he just wants to take as many people with him as possible. Misery loves company. Amen. 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Amen. It is time for us as the saints of Way of Life Church to hunker down in prayer. It is time for us to submit ourselves completely and not allow the winds of doctrine to move us, not allow the pressure of the world to sway us, not allow the media and the things in the world to change our minds about the Word of God. We still believe that all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. Amen, it's profitable. Romans 13:11. The writer sounded the alarm. He said, in that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, knowing the time. It is high time. It is high time to awake out of sleep. It's not a time to compromise. It's not a time to move back from commitments. It's not a time to miss church and to miss prayer time and to miss being connected to the body. The enemy wants to separate you individually and collectively. The enemy wants to bring disunity into the body, but we are unified. We are endeavoring to keep the spirit of peace, the bond of peace, and the spirit of unity. And so here we are tonight. We are witnessing the enemy's last stand. And he has no power over us. I've already read the scripture, right? He's given us power over all the processes, all of the attacks of the enemy. Amen. Satan wants us to believe that he is equal in power to God. He wants us to believe that he is able to stop God's purpose. The enemy wants us to believe that he can defeat and stop the church. The enemy wants us to believe that he's able to control our actions. And as I've always told you, the devil didn't make you do it. The devil didn't make you do it. Amen. He wants us to believe that he is the king of a domain called hell. He's not the king of hell. Amen. He's scared of hell. He doesn't want to go there. Amen. He knows what's in store for him. He doesn't have a throne there. He's not in charge there. Amen. He's going to be punished just like everybody else that ends up in hell. But the world, the media wants us to believe that he's all big and bad and large and in charge, right? But he's not. Amen. He believes in one God, and he trembles. And if he believes in one God and trembles, guess who else he trembles about? It's a church that believes in one God and lives the word of God to the best of their ability that are submitted. Because if we submit ourselves therefore unto God, he must flee from us. Amen. He has no power over a submitted soul. But what's the real truth about Satan? Satan is not equal to God. God has no equal. He is the creator of all things and his power is unmatched. God does not even have to break a sweat to defeat the enemy. Satan is simply a fallen angel that was cast out of heaven by God, and his fall was like lightning from heaven. We read that already. Amen. He's just been around a long time. God's purpose will not be stopped. He will ultimately be worshipped. He will ultimately be proclaimed king, and Satan will ultimately be defeated. Amen. Number three, God will have the church. The church will not fail or be defeated. It is founded on Jesus Christ, the solid rock, and nothing will ever move it. The devil cannot make us do anything. We have to give him influence. We have to submit ourselves unto God, and then we resist the devil, and he will flee from us. And so the enemy cannot make us do anything. Number five, hell is not Satan's domain. He is not in charge of hell. He fears it. Number six, he is the father of lies, and the truth is not in him. If Satan's talking, he's lying, even if it sounds like the truth. Even if it sounds like the truth. He's lying. You can just take it to the bank. So when the enemy comes in and tries to convince you and I, individually and collectively as a church, that he has power, that he has the ability to overcome us, it is really just him trying to convince himself, because he has no power, he has no ability, and it's just like Goliath in my picture tonight, that he stepped out in the valley and for 40 days he taunted Israel with his threats. And then when David showed up on the scene and he went out to meet him, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 17:41, and when the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, little g, his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And then David stood up, and David made his proclamation. When the enemy makes his boast about his little g gods and what he's going to do to you, you just need to remind him who you are and who you serve tonight. David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And I think it's high time for the church to stand up and recognize who we are. We are victorious in him. He has already gotten the victory over death, hell, and the grave. We do not have to be fearful tonight. We don't have to walk in fear. We don't have to cower in fear. We do not have to be timid, but we have the name of Jesus. We have the blood of Jesus upon us, and you and I have the power. We have the power. We will be victorious. Amen. We have nothing to fear from the enemy if we stay. Here, this is another big little word. If we stay in the church and submitted to God, amen, we will be victorious. Amen. Amen. There's three realities. I've told you this before. Psychologists say there are three realities in each of our lives. One is what you know about yourself that others do not know. It's a personal, private information. You know who you are. Two, what you know about yourself that others also know. It's kind of, you know it, everybody knows it. And number three is what others know about you that you do not know. And it's that number three that'll get you. And so the key is to find as much about number three as possible so that you eliminate that. But I do believe that you and I have to know who we are, because the enemy knows who you are. Amen. If you have repented, been baptized in Jesus' name, been filled with the Holy Ghost, and you are doing your best to live according to the Word of God, you are His. Amen. You are bought with a price. Amen. We are the church of the living God. Amen. We are empowered by the Spirit. We are children of God. He is our Father. Amen. Amen. The church is more than an institution. It is more than a group of people. It is more than a building, obviously. It is more than a series of services. It's more than an organization. The church is a living, breathing organism. The church's breath is the Holy Ghost. The church's body is made up of millions of blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled saints. The church's cloak is one of righteousness. The church's authority is in the name of Jesus. The church's foundation is a rock that cannot be moved. So tonight, too many times we as the church, we look at ourselves as a minority and we see ourselves so small and without influence. But I believe that you and I, the church, you and I, the church, are the only things that's really holding back the evil of this world. Amen. Amen. The man of sin cannot do everything he wants to do because God has him on a leash. Amen. And when we're taken out of here, he's gonna release him for a season. Amen. Amen. But you and I are powerful. We are his, hear me, we are his bride. Amen. He purchased us. We are betrothed to him. He loves us. He cares for us. And so the battle that you are feeling in your mind, your spirit, it is just the enemy trying to demoralize you and try to make you think that you are less than you are. It's just the same as Goliath saying, am I a dog that you would come to me with staves? You're just a little child. I can't believe you would come to me. I'm gonna feed you to the fowls of the air. I'm gonna kill you. And the enemy wants to make you believe today that he has the ability to destroy your marriage, your home, your life, your mind, your sanity. He wants you to believe that he can destroy you. But let me just tell you right now, and I'll tell him while we're at it. He cannot do it. If he could have killed you, he would have already done it. If he could have destroyed the church, he would have already destroyed it. If he could stop the truth from being proclaimed, he would have already stopped it. So here we are today. We still stand. We are stationed between heaven and hell. And we're going to stay here proclaiming the gospel, worshiping Jesus, baptizing people, having them receive the gift of the Holy Ghost until Jesus comes. And I want you to know that the enemy can't do anything about it. Amen. The church is victorious. The only variable in our victory is whether you and I are a part of it or not. Amen. Because he cannot destroy the church, but if he can distract individuals, he can get them away from the church, and he gets you away from the church, then he seeketh whom he may devour. Amen. We are more than the sum of our parts. As one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. So the church is more powerful than our collective numbers. Let me just remind us that the gates of hell shall not stand or withstand the force of the church. The enemy cannot destroy us. Our culture cannot ignore us. Media cannot shame us into compliance. Church is powerful, effective. We are the salt. We are the preservative of the world. We are the light. We are piercing the darkness. And so tonight, lift up your head and know that we are the bride of Christ. We have his favor. We have his power. Move forward into revival without fear and intimidation. Take authority, fathers, in your home. Mothers, take authority in your home in Jesus' name. Don't allow the enemy to come in through the media and through the things that are being viewed there. Do not allow the thoughts of the enemy to come in and to have influence over your children, over your marriage, over your lifestyle. Amen. You got to know who you are. You got to know who you are. We are blood bought. Amen. I know it's Better Way of Life Wednesday, but I hate the devil. I'm sick and tired of the devil. Amen. It just seems like every week somebody is coming to my wife and I and they're just fighting a battle. The enemy's just trying to convince them to quit, to give up, but we are feeling the pressure. And I've told you this before, that the enemy has a tail. Not a T-A-I-L. He may have a tail too. I know everybody draws him with one. I don't think he has a tail. But he has a T-E-L-L. He has a tail. Because when he is fighting us, he's really telegraphing to us that he's scared. He's worried. I said this last week. We've got to realize that the harder the battle, that the hotter the process that you're going through, the more struggle that you are facing, you just let yourself know. Let that telegraph to you. Let that be a neon sign in your spirit. Hey, he doesn't like what I'm doing. He doesn't like me to be faithful to church. He doesn't like me to pray. He doesn't like me to fast. He doesn't like me to commit and submit and to honor the word of God and to honor my pastor. He doesn't like me to do that. And so as the enemy comes in, just realize that when he is battling you, that it is for a purpose. He hates you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to hinder you. He wants to destroy the things that God is doing in your life. And so every time you feel that, you just let it encourage you. Say, all right, buddy. I know what you're doing. We're not, the scripture, we read it. We're not ignorant of your devices. We understand how you work. And so with every call and every text and every battle that's going on, I realize sometimes, you know, it makes me, I'm human. I worry a little bit. But when I really get in prayer and I get in the spirit, I realize, hey, I know what he's doing. It's because we're baptizing more people than we've ever baptized. We're reaching people that we've never been able to reach before. And God is opening doors that we did not even really ask for. They're coming to us. Amen. It's just incredible what God is doing. And that's why we are feeling the heat of the battle. And so it's the enemy's last stand. That's why the world is losing its mind. Man, it's going crazy all around us. Things that don't even make sense are happening. People are trying to protest things that it doesn't even make sense. Anyway, I'm not going to get into it tonight, but if I get off on that, we'll never get out. Amen. But we got to know who we are. I love the psalmist said in Psalm 8, says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? That thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air and the fish of the sea, whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. When I think of how great the Lord is, I'm amazed that he is mindful of me. Not only is he mindful of us, but I want to remind you tonight that he chose us. Amen. He chose us. Amen. We are his church. We are blood bought, blood washed, spirit filled. And so tonight, if I had one message to leave you, in this generation, it would be that the church is still alive and well. Nothing is wrong with the church. It's victorious, triumphant, marching on and getting the job done. Thank God the church is still alive and well. Our people have not all gone to seed. They are not all gone to pot, carnal, giving up, compromise, but they are still living for God today to the best of their ability, trying to live righteous and holy life. There are people still praying and fasting and living right. The church still has power. The Lord has not left us alone in the end time. The midnight hour has come, but the church is rising to the occasion. We're not hiding in a corner, afraid of what is going on, but the church still has the same power we had on the day of Pentecost. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that in the last days, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, but it also says that where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. And so the worse the enemy gets tonight, the more he fights, the more grace is going to abound. The more power is going to abound. The church is greater today than ever before. Amen. We want the devil to know that we are not afraid of him. We are not worried about what he's doing. The church is still able to bring victory and deliverance to mankind. Amen. We must know who we are in God. We are sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, God worshiping, fervent praying, devil chasing, overcomers. And here we are. The Bible says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Isaiah 59 and 19, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. So who is our enemy? He's an angel of light. He's a liar, a deceiver. He is a fallen angel. He has no power over us. Just as Goliath had no power over David, even though Israel cowered in the hills behind the rocks, it just took one young man to realize who their God was. Hallelujah. I love David because he's just a little boy, you know, come to bring some cheese and some wine to his brothers, and he steps out there and he hears Goliath and he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Hallelujah. And what he was saying there, he was saying, who is this infidel that would speak against our God? Amen. Doesn't he know who we are? Right. Amen. Doesn't he know who we are? What are y'all over here cowering about? I'll go fight him. And when he ran to meet Goliath, Goliath put him down, called him all kinds of names, and said they were treating him like a dog because they're sending a boy out there with just staves and just didn't have any ability to beat him, to defeat him. But David didn't take it within himself. He didn't say, hey, I've got my sling. He said, no, I've got my Lord. He said, who are you to defy the Lord? Amen. Who are you to defy the God of Israel? And so you and I need to take heart tonight that the enemy has no power over us. Amen. We need to run to meet him. We need to run to meet him in the name of the Lord. Because our enemy knows who he is. We must realize it too. Amen. I said it before, devils believe in one God and tremble. The devil knows that he cannot defeat and go past the blood of Jesus. He is not a roaring lion. He is like a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. And so today, let us run to meet him. Let us run to meet him. In your marriage, in your children, in your prayer life, in your commitment to the church, in your commitment and submission to your calling, let us run to meet the enemy. Because the only way he can defeat you, the only way he can defeat me, is if we let him. There's only one pathway to defeat for us and victory for him, and that is if we let him. We have to give him place. We have to give him space. We have to give him influence. And so as long as we are submitted to God, then the enemy cannot touch us. So don't be fearful. I was speaking to somebody not long ago, and they were all worried about the spiritual realm, you know. They were seeing this and seeing that and hearing this and hearing that. And this person's a witch and, you know, whatever. And I said, look, I said, just don't worry about it. Amen. You don't have to look for devils on the doorknobs and ghosts behind every corner and witches. Because as long as you're submitted to God, Amen. They can't do anything to you anyway. They can't cross the bloodline. And so you and I, the Bible says that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so let me just tell you, don't walk around in fear. Don't walk around paralyzed by what the enemy might could do or wants to do. Because the enemy can't do anything if you just focus on God. Don't focus on the enemy. Amen. David never even called Goliath a giant. He looked right past that big old giant and said, look up there. That's my Lord right there. So who are you to defy? Who are you? Amen. It doesn't matter how big your spear is, how big your sword is, how much armor you have, how tall you are, how much experience you have. Who are you to speak against my God? And so you and I, we don't need to focus on the giant. We need to focus on God. That's what happened to the children of Israel when they came to the edge of the promised land. You know, they sent 12 spies in. 12 spies came back. They came back with the evidence that it was everything God said it was. The Bible tells us that they came back and they said, surely it's a land that flows with milk and honey, just like we were promised. And here's the fruit of the land. They had the cluster of grapes was so big that two men had to carry it on a staff between them. They had the evidence right in front of their eyes. But listen to what the evil report said, the 10 spies that doubted. They said, we were as grasshoppers in our own. Didn't say we were grasshoppers in their sight. We were as grasshoppers in our own sight. Amen. It's time to get our eyes off of us. Get our eyes off of the enemy and get our eyes on God. Caleb and Joshua steeled the people and said, look, let us go up at once. We are well able to take. God has already given it into our hands. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the enemy wants to paralyze us from walking into the promised land. And this is part of the story that I love. If you fast forward 40 years, you know, they wondered, in the wilderness for 40 years. No one over the age of 40, when they didn't go in, lived to see the promised land. They all died in the wilderness. But those that were younger than that, plus Joshua and Caleb, got to go in. And they sent a couple of spies in again into Jericho. And the spies went to Jericho to look out and spy out the city. And they ended up in being hid by a harlot, Rahab. And the testimony of Rahab was greater than the testimony of Israel itself.
Amen.
Read it for yourself. Rahab said, we have been worried for 40 years.
Amen.
Our hearts did melt within us because we heard how God brought you out of Egypt and how he brought you across the Red Sea. This is a harlot. This is a heathen woman living in a heathen city. And 40 years removed from what God did to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. She said, we've been worried for 40 years. Our hearts didn't melt within us because we know what your God did.
Amen.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad when one wicked woman has a better understanding of who God is than the people he actually brought out. And too many times, The enemy has a better understanding of who God is than we do. It's the enemy's last stand. He's raging. He's going to wear out the very elect. But we're not ignorant of his devices. And so we need to stop focusing on him. We need to stop looking for demons on every doorknob and in every corner and looking for people battling against us. No. If you will just submit yourself to God. Commit yourself. Decide, hey, no matter how I feel. Guess what? Your feelings will fail you every time. Well, I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel. Well, too bad. Amen. So sad. You know how many times I stand up here and preach to you and don't feel like preaching? I'd be ashamed to tell you. Because invariably you get bad news before church. Or you get the ambiguous, Pastor, can I talk to you after church? Don't do that. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Amen. Praise God. All right, I'm almost done. There's three hindrances to victory. It's the way we see ourselves. It's the way we see the enemy. And it's the way we see God. So many times we see ourselves as insignificant, as powerless, as weak, as flawed. And we see our enemy as powerful, as intimidating, as overwhelming. And sadly, many times, because we don't have a daily relationship with him, we see God as distant, uncaring, and unresponsive. And if you're not careful, the enemy will intimidate you into silence.
Hallelujah. Come on.
But God sees you. God sees you. David could have said, I am nothing but a forgotten shepherd boy. My own daddy didn't call me to the house when the prophet showed up. I'm a boy with nothing but a sling. I'm unworthy. And I am not able to defeat you. But God said, no, you're a king. You're a prophet. You're a poet. You're a conqueror. You're a man after my own heart. Amen. Judges 6 and 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and saith unto him, that's talking to Gideon, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. I love the way God called Gideon a mighty man of valor when he was cowering down behind the mill. Gideon said, who, me? And he said, I'm poor in Manasseh. And Manasseh was the smallest tribe. He's like, I'm not just poor, but I'm poor in Manasseh. I'm the least. I'm fearful. But God said, you're a mighty man of valor. Abraham said, I'm old. I'm sterile. I'm an adulterer. I'm fearful. I'm a doubter. But God said, no, you're a father of many nations. Jacob said, I'm a deceiver, I'm a liar, I'm a heel catcher. Maybe he was that too, I don't know. Praise God. God said he was Israel, prince that hath power with God. Amen. Moses said, I stutter. I'm a murderer. I'm a fugitive on the run from the country you want me to go back to. But God said, you're a deliverer, and I'm with you. Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners, a murderer, persecutor. But God said, well, you're an apostle, a preacher, a teacher, a missionary. Simon Peter, unlearned, undisciplined, a traitor. But God said, you're a rock. So here we are. We are the church of the living God. We are the people that have been called out. We've been bought with a price. We are not our own. And the enemy hates what is going on because he wanted October 27th to demoralize us and to defeat us. And 3 days later, we joined together in a gym that was unfamiliar to us. And we worshiped just like we did the week before. And we took Sister Tina to a baptistry and baptized her just like the week before we baptized Luis. And we haven't stopped since, right? We had to use a borrowed baptistry. We bought a horse trough, and now somebody gave us a baptistry. We're going to other churches and baptizing them. I'm telling you, the enemy hates what's going on right now. And the battle that you are facing in your personal life, in your finances, in your marriage, in your emotions, I'm telling you, there is a battle going on. But if you can recognize what the enemy's trying to do, he is trying to silence your prayers. He's trying to silence your worship. He's trying to demoralize you and make you think that you cannot be everything God has called you to be because you've made a mistake or two. But hey, I'm telling you right now that God is faithful and just to forgive. All we have to do is go to Him in repentance. We need to move forward. Don't let the enemy silence you. Don't let him steal your praise. Don't let him steal your worship. Don't let him steal your commitment. Because I'm telling you, the heat that you feel right now is just the enemy's last stand. He's trying to do his best to demoralize what God is doing. Let's all stand and clap our hands on the Lord tonight. Praise God. It's the enemy's last stand. Revelations 12 and 11. I'm done. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. I'm telling you, we are overcomers. We are overcomers. The enemy cannot stop what God has started in you. He has begun a good work in you, and He is going to finish it. You just got to let Him. Amen, amen. Can we pray right now? Lord Jesus, Lord, I come against every voice of the enemy, every spirit of depression, every spirit of distraction. Lord, I come against it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you see the things that are going on and the things that have been happening in our church, Lord, all the victories that we have experienced already and what you're about to do, Lord, and the things that you're doing in other churches. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you not only bless this church, bless this congregation, but I pray for the Rock Church. I pray for Legacy Church. I pray for Grace Point. I pray for Cornerstone in Aubrey, Lord. I pray for Camino de Vida. I pray, Lord, for Way of Life Africa. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, for the Lighthouse Church in Breckenridge. Lord, you see what you want to do in us. Lord, we submit ourselves to your will and to your way. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us the revelation of your name. Lord, that we thank you for allowing us to be a part of the process. Lord, every Way of Life ministry, Lord, let us move forward in the Spirit. Lord, every minister, every pastor's wife, Lord, you see the struggle that we are under, the battle that we are facing. Lord, we are determined to win. In the mighty name of Jesus, we will not be defeated. Hallelujah. Lord, every home, let there be peace and provision today. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. The enemy will not win. Praise God. If you're defeated, it's because you let him win. Praise God, because if he could defeat you, he would have already done it. Amen. Praise. Let's clap our hands one more time under the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I know it's a little different than we normally do on Better Way of Life Wednesday, but I just had to fire a shot across his bow today. Amen. I hate the devil. And he better get ready. He better get ready because revival's coming. We're not going to worry about him. We're just going to keep on marching. We're going to keep on winning people. And the days that are ahead of us are greater than all the days behind us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Greet one another. Love one another. We'll see you this weekend. Don't forget about Dream Team. Don't forget about the students on Friday night. God bless you.